Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them. That's straight from Mike.
What did that man like to say?
Fuck that. Fuck this.
Said fuck him.
Fuck it. Anything that works.
He said fuck him.
Fuck him.
Okay, there you go.
You know, the whole moral of that is basically fuck it. Fuck him, fuck that, fuck you, you know, because we know what it's about. Sorry. That's the most I've said the F word in this show.
You didn't get beat.
I know.
Anyway,
watch. Something
yeah,
will
no,
happen.
I talked to Bill. He's not, he was doing too good. He kind of
helped
Chuck talking to him.
That's not good. I hope he feels better soon.
Well, no, you told him not to get the flu shot, and he got the flu.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I didn't get flu shot. I don't have the flu.
Okay.
I know, everybody's different.
But
and you got that California weather thing going on. It's not like here where
you
get
matter.
Really cold.
Doesn't matter. It could be 90 degrees and sunny, you still get the flu.
Yeah, I've heard.
Doesn't matter.
That poor guy. I'm so sorry. Oh. I bet he's really upset. He didn't get the shot or he did?
No, he didn't.
Well, they never give the strain for the year that they should.
Doesn't
like,
matter.
I know. I know.
Issue. I just wanted to let everybody know he sends his best wishes and he'll be back.
He's gonna get mad at me later. I know.
Me too, so. You jinxed him.
Well, how would I have known that?
Hey, I don't know.
Oh, I found that graphic perfect to what you told my daughter to do, which he knows better not to do. Trust me.
Did it anyway.
She will smack me. No, she'll smack me anywhere else but there. She knows better.
So.
But it's okay. So she'll get even for you, just not in where you want it to be.
Think about it. She'll get it. She'll get you.
Yeah.
But I don't know if anybody's been reading the news. And I'm telling you, it's getting crazy.
I know.
No, the worst kept secret is, you know what the worst kept secret is?
What?
Well, first of all, we're coming from the West Coast, which is right now at 6:03. You're on in the Midwest.
8:05, right?
8:03, and on the East Coast it's 9:04 now, and
right.
Everybody joins us from all over the world. People call in all the time. We have people who listen all over the world, and usually the next day download is anywhere from 10,000 to 20,000 plus around the world.
Right.
But the worst kept secret is that cops lie.
Really?
Yeah. And it will come as a shock to no one to learn that cops lie sometimes. It's
right.
Sort of everyone seems to know from the New York Times when it was published in its Test the Lying series back in 1994 to anyone who's seen the video. And this was Christian Long knocked off his bike on his critical on his ass. Everyone, it seems, except judges, whether to maintain their pristine impartiality or make their job easier by going with the odds, judges have managed to ignore what's long been obvious to everyone else, within and without the system. Cops lie all the time, but a lot. Not about everything, but just enough. Detectives, well, I won't say their names because...
I know.
I don't want to listen
to
them.
I can't.
But lied when they claimed that Maximo and Joe Colin sold them cocaine at a club. It was a video camera that told the truth. However, how did we ever survive without video? The cops never lied before there was video. We now know because there was no evidence to prove that every word out of the policeman's mouth wasn't true. Hence, they never lied. Now they do. The Colden brothers sued the New York City, and the city moved to dismiss. Unfortunately for the city, the case went to Judge Jack Weinstein, who's been on the bench forever, and knows he's never going to be appointed to the Supreme Court. That leaves him free to make rulings that younger judges might not want to make. He's the Bobby McGee of the Eastern District. Judge Weinstein denied the motion, but took it a step further. A formal cry by the judge and among judges of this court, as well as knowledge of cases in other federal and state courts, has revealed anecdotal evidence of repeated widespread falsification by arresting officers of the New York City Police Department. It's as if the judges were all whispering to each other in the judge's lounge about it, but Judge Weinstein let the cat out of the bag. Judge, by better training for recruits, hang on, Austin. Judge said, for better training for recruits and tough discipline action for bad cops, there's some evidence of an attitude among officers that is sufficiently widespread to constitute a custom or policy by the city approving illegal conduct. For those of us working in the trenches or chronicling the cases of false testimony, this makes it sound almost trivial, but the fact that Judge Weinstein wrote the words widespread falsification in his four-page decision is huge. Not the first time a judge has found that a cop lied, and it's unlikely to cause a seismic shift in judges rejecting the testimony of police officers wholesale. The odds favor the cops, and the judges know it. But still, he went beyond the isolated incident language that has long marked the judiciary's adventures in fantasy. It's unlikely we will ever have a judge opine that there has never been a single trial where a law enforcement officer did give false testimony to a greater or lesser extent. Whether to fill in the gaps, exaggerate the detail, or present an accusation made of whole cloth, testimony is 100% truthful and accurate, zebra of the courtroom. I'm sure it happens, but very, very rarely. That doesn't mean the defendant didn't do it, but as Murray Compton liked to say, there they go again, framing the guilty. This decision is the product of the confluence of two things, the existence of videotape proving that the detectives were lying, and a judge who is old and bold enough not to care whether anybody likes his decisions or not. The bold and youngster is too, but a ruling like this is a career killer. Most young judges aspire to higher position and don't love our defendants as much as they love their families and themselves. Had there been no video conclusively proving the lie, a conclusion like this would be taken as proof that Judge Weinstein is just utterly biased against cops. Without video, there can be no lie. Just like without DNA, there can be no innocence. Cops need only to have their testimony. We never heard proof. Credibility tie always goes to the cops. Actually, any testimonial pissing match always goes to the cops unless there is video. At least that's how the odds, video or a recording, but at least that's how the odds have always been played out in our court up to now. This is a step forward in the battle against testifying, not one will ensure to any particular defendant's benefit. It will cause a few right-minded judges to come to grips with their own minds with the fact that it's now out there in the open that cops lie. Other judges won't care at all, but every journey begins with a single step, and Judge Weinstein took that and has taken that step here.
Well, let's put it this way. Say you're Joe Smart. Police come knocking on your door because you are a witness to something, okay? Anything.
I was witness to got asked where they went, and I said, I never saw anybody.
Exactly. But the majority of the people will not do that.
And I told
they
the
will
cop,
sit there.
And I told the cop, when they're eating fucking donuts, you'd have seen it.
Well, not only that, they put that trap, okay? Say if you did something minor, minute, okay? and you get called in for questioning, or you get brought in for questioning. Well, if you tell us everything you know and who was actually behind this, we're going to let you go. Why? Hello? We won't use anything against you. Hello? Why? You know, and it's not just the officers. It's, of course, and of course, the government itself. Hello? You know, so when we were little children, in, say, like kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, that's usually when, you know, cops would come into a classroom, talk to the kids about stranger danger, that kind of thing, okay? And how trust an officer. We are here to protect and serve. We protect the good people, and we put the bad people away, okay? If you remember that, like I do, okay, I went to a Catholic school. And the funny thing is, most children at that age have no problem saying this, thinking they get so pumped up hearing this officer speak. They go home. This is what I want to be when I grow up. Okay. And it isn't until later in life when they realize how it actually is. So, for ones that claim that they're supposed to be their protectants are bullshit. They probably do in a certain degree. But there's degrees that I've seen it. You know, well, we can't help you. Really? Then what are you doing here? Plain and simple. Don't put "we're here to protect" or "protect and serve" on your damn vehicle if they can't provide that service, no matter what the circumstances are. Okay, it's bullshit. It's all bullshit. And of course, they have to make up lies just so that way they can get a case. You know, and the states, the attorneys are just as dirty, you know, as it is in the courts. You know, and unfortunately, you have, and I'm not saying all judges, but you got good judges that sit there and have nothing but lies in front of them, so they go by that. And then when somebody's actually sitting there telling the truth, well, the lies outweigh the truth. So guess what? You're still going to jail.
All right.
Bond.
All right, here. Anything you say can and will be used against you. Police officers need your permission to have a conversation. Never give it to them. Never voluntarily talk to a police officer. There's no such thing as a friendly chat with a police officer. Supreme Court recently ruled that you should not talk to a police officer without a lawyer, and you must say, "I am going to remain silent." Did you get that? I am going to remain...
going to remain silent.
Thank you. Do that while I read this.
I'm going to remain silent.
Okay. It can be very dangerous to talk to a police officer or a federal agent. Innocent people have talked to a police officer and ended up in jail and prison because they spoke to a police officer without an attorney. Police officer has the same right as you, freedom of speech. They can ask you anything they want, but you should never answer any of their questions. If you do, answer a question with a question. Don't let the police officer try to persuade you to talk. Sometimes they say something like, "I'm sorry, I don't have time to talk to you right now." If the cop insists on talking to you, ask him, "Am I free to go?" The police officer may not like when you refuse to talk to him and challenge you with words like, "If you have nothing to hide, why don't you speak to me? Say again, I told you I don't have any time to talk to you right now. Am I free to go?" If you forget or the police officer tricks you into talking, it's okay. Just start over again and tell the officer that I'm going to remain silent. The Supreme Court has ruled that if a police officer doesn't force you to do something and you're doing it voluntarily. That means if the police officer starts being intimidating and you don't want, and you do what he asks because you're afraid, you still have done it voluntarily. That was from Florian Bostic in 1991. If you do what the police officer asks you to do such as allowing them to search your car or answer any of his questions, you are voluntarily complying with his request. So don't comply. Just keep your mouth shut unless you say, "Am I free to go?" or "I do not consent to a search." You have every right not to talk to a police officer, and you should not speak to police officers unless you first have consulted with a lawyer who has advised you differently. Police officers depend on fear and intimidation to get what they want from you. Police officers might say they will go easy on you if you talk to them, but they are liars. The government has made a law that allows police officers to lie to the American public. Another reason not to trust the police, so be nice as possible, but stand your ground on your rights. Where do some of your rights come from? Read the Fourth and Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. And I'll load that link in the chat room right now. There we go. It's in there. Okay. Let's see.
You know, I find that unbelievable because we've all come across situations of some form of another, whether if it involves you or if it involves who you're with.
Right.
You know, and they'll sit there. What happened? I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Where'd you find this? I just found it.
Nope.
Yeah, or what happens to me when I start answering their questions with the question, I get spun around and cuffed. Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I gave them one hell of a time after that. That's all I have to say.
Well, no, that's the unfortunate thing for you, you know. I mean, like I said, I've been asked stuff, and I've either walked away and never said a damn word, or I just sit there, I have no idea.
It don't matter because four times in court, round and round and round, and the end result was dismissed. Because all I did was scream and bitch and holler, calling them cowardly pigs, amongst other things, and that I wanted a freaking lawyer. That was it. They kept me overnight, and the next day I was shipped off to court in the cruiser, got myself a court-appointed attorney, mind you, that was a little whippersnapper, I'll tell you that much. He was awesome, believe it or not. And we just, you know, the dates kept getting continued, and finally the whole thing was dismissed. And I was happy.
Well, let me see who this is. 323.
What's going on? It's Martin.
What's up, Martin?
Right here, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
So what do you say? What do you say when the police officer still wants to ask you some questions?
If they have a reason to talk to me to begin with.
Well, you're just standing on the corner. He walks up to you. What do you say?
Cowardly.
What do I say? I don't want to say that in the air.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Phil. My friends, they all know me so well. Cops just said to be standing there doing street duty because they're digging in the road and I'm already swearing. Yeah, because I can't stand them. I just can't. I have no respect for none of them. Not one.
Called in to tell me about a couple of things that are going on. One is in there.
Yeah,
hey,
when is next week?
Hold on a second. Okay, go ahead, Martin.
One thing is next week, we're having our pre-Rosarito run. I know it's a little early, but we're doing it a little early because we're having maybe four or five events before the actual Rosarito run because we're trying to change the theme and taking toys. We're trying to get bikes for all the kids. So that's a little pricey, but you know what? I think we could do it. We have a good organization. We're having a good rapport with everybody at all of our events selling out. So
right.
I think we could do it this year. We're having the Blues Festival. Go ahead.
Do you want me to talk to Do you want me to talk to Art?
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Okay.
And we're having a Blues Festival April 17th. I believe. It's on the email. If you go to the website, Rolling Deep for Charities, all the events will be on the website.
Right.
And you can also pre-register as well. Just wanted to drop in and make a phone call and see how everybody was doing.
We're doing good. Bill caught the flu because all the women jinxed him, told him not to get the flu shot, and he got the flu.
Ah, shit.
Yeah.
That could go either way. If you take a push, I could go either way.
Yeah. Well, so on February 17th, we had the first pre-run at Iguanas in Pico Rivera, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, is that a safe venue for me?
Is it of course it is. Of course it is. All my places where I have events are safe for you and everybody else.
Okay, good, because I know it's an open event.
That's correct.
Okay. February 17th is the first pre-run at Iguanas in Pico Rivera. April 14th.
That's correct.
April 14th is the bike show and the blues festival at Iguanas.
That's correct.
And then June 2nd was the City of Angels car bike show. Is that the one you were telling me about?
That's the one. That was going to be huge. I'm having it in downtown. It's in an undisclosed location right now because I'm working on the permits.
Right.
And we'll be blocking out streets. It's going to be huge. It's going to be like a little LA street scene.
Cool. And then July 13th is the Rosarita Run at Papa's
and
Beer.
That's
correct. You will have Bill's company that day. And if you're looking for a good MC that can get the crowd going, Bill's your guy.
Well, I was waiting for him last year. I hope he makes it this year because I need a good MC up there.
Yeah, trust me. You thought the pictures of me with all the girls was fun. Where do you see him going?
Well, you had a good time, right?
Absolutely. You know those pictures got 20,000 hits already.
Man.
Right.
Good times, man. Good times. Everybody who hasn't gone, you gotta go.
That's why you're getting a lot of people from the East Coast now.
Yeah, that's true. I am.
Yep.
That's very true.
Yep.
Very true.
And then my other question was, I don't want to put you on the spot, but did you order my large shirt yet?
Actually, I did. So you
perfect.
Can't say nothing about me. You can't tease me anymore. I got you.
All right.
Be ready by next week.
Okay, perfect. And then what I'll do is if you want to call in Tuesday or Thursday next week, and we'll pop this up again.
You can.
I will post. Is it okay for me to post all those flyers?
You can do whatever you like, sir. You have my blessing.
Okay, and then I'll CC Art on a memo about this, okay?
All right, sir. I appreciate it. I'll check with you guys next week.
All
right? All
right. Take care, Martin.
Take care, please. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wait, and we go.
There you go. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
We were getting a little feedback there, and then somebody was jacking with us on the other side, so...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, I was going to say, Martin is always so busy when it comes to the events, and he works so hard every year for everything that's...
Oh, I got news for you,
there. He does.
I got news for you, sweetheart. We got a West Coast thing coming up here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Estimated anywhere from 8,000 to 9,000 people, I was told.
Wow.
Like 2 or 3 times bigger than last year, and we're going to pass the hat for your grandson.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, Nora, you still need to put that your grandson's page. You need to add me to the group.
I already did. I sent out all the invites.
I haven't received it.
Yeah.
Because I went looking for it yesterday, and it still wasn't in my thing.
Okay.
No, because as soon as I set the page up, it gave the option for sending all the invites, and I went click, 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 bam, 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 invite, invite, invite.
Do me a favor, okay?
Okay.
You hear me talk, please be quiet, let me finish, but that should be a conversation, not on the air.
Yep.
Okay?
Gotcha.
Sometimes that cotton you put in your mouth, or you put in your ears, you need to put in your mouth. Hello, Martin,
okay.
Go ahead. Forgot something? Martin.
Oh, no. I just wanted to hear the show.
Okay. All right. All right, Nora, you want to bring us up to speed on what we talked about the other day and give everybody an update?
I made the page for the Jonathan's journey. Jonathan is my grandson. He's 2 months old, soon to be 3 months. He was born with... craniosynostosis. He was diagnosed little over a month after when he was born with it. What it is it's a premature fusion of the skull while they are in the womb.
Isn't that what they call cranialtosis or something like that?
Yeah, craniosynostosis.
Okay.
The only way that they can correct that is they have to, every case is different. There's three different forms. The craniosynostosis. What Jonathan has is a coronal, which is in the front. It caves the one side of the head. It caves it in, and it misshapes the forehead. It doesn't have your eyes lined correctly. It makes it look like you have a broken nose. So what they have to do is cut ear to ear across the front, pull the scalp back, the face down. They have to take out so much of the bone, replace it with plates, so that way as he grows, his brain has room to grow with the head.
Okay.
And they have to realign the eyes. They have to fix the nose. They put everything together. They stitch it. They form fit him like a regular cast you would have on your arm, your foot, whatever. Okay, they mold it to fit him, okay? And once they make that mold, they cut it to make it look like a helmet. He will have to wear that 23 hours a day for 18 months from the day of surgery. He can have it off for 1 hour. That is enough time to let it breathe a little bit, clean the area, and put it back. So he will not be able to be a regular toddler for at least 2 years. He will be under doctor's care for 2 years from surgery.
Wow.
It's a lot to swallow. I'm glad he's small because he's not going to remember the surgery, thank God.
Right.
You know, but he will remember the helmet.
Yeah, but don't think that helmet's going to stop him from being a kid, Nora, because I've taken care of plenty of kids that have had to wear helmets for one medical reason or another, and they run and kick and jump and do everything that they're supposed to do. It's like wearing a hat because they're used to wearing, you know?
Well, I don't know exactly, so I cannot say if there's going to be boundaries in regards to make sure he doesn't bump his head or do something a certain way. I don't know yet. I won't know until next month. So like I said, it is one in every 2,000 babies are born with it, and they don't always know a cause. It could be genetic. Normally it's just a birth defect, but most of the craniofacial pediatric neurosurgeons do not understand why it happens, but it happens.
And so you had good conversations with Ramona and Eunice?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Ramona and Philip are just fantastic.
They helped you out with...
They helped me with the one site, GoFundMe.com. So I basically, how I made Jonathan's journey page, that is a daily journal page.
Correct.
It'll be a step-by-step of what good days, bad days, and different whatever, doctor's visits, surgeon visits, everything like that. It'll be a step of his life through this whole entire process. Also, it is information for people who do not know what craniosynostosis is or the other forms of craniosynostosis. Also, with being under the care that he will be for 2 years from surgery, there are some things that will not be covered. We don't know what that is as of yet. So a PayPal is set up, and GoFundMe.com is set up as well.
Okay.
But pictures are in the like page, so this way everyone can see this beautiful little boy and how he progresses every day.
Okay. Are you putting up daily pictures?
Yes.
Of like him and Megan, or him and you, or
yes. I haven't got me on there yet, but Megan had posted, my daughter Megan had posted one with Jonathan sleeping in the crib, and it was a reality sitting in after Tuesday's show, you know.
Yeah.
It was very hard on her because, you know, being postpartum to begin with and
right.
hearing for the first time exactly how the surgery will be done and things of that nature. She cried. You know, it's hard. But, you know, she has a strong mother to kick her right in the pants to get, you know, to do what we have to do, period.
Well,
he comes first.
It's a lot for any new mother to deal with. But
right.
let alone when you're in that postpartum, you know, phase where everything just kind of seems really more overwhelming than what it is, you know.
Right.
Just, you know, she's lucky she has you for a mom, because I know you're very strong-willed. And
yes, I am.
You know, you'll be her driving force, and she's going to need that in the next year or two, you know.
Well, that's what I sat down and I explained to her. I said, if you can't find the strength now, it's okay. Because I'm going to kick in the pants all the way through. You will get that strength. You know, I know she's got medical issues on top of it. It doesn't help. You know, it's just very overwhelming, you know,
right.
to come to the reality of what's going to take place.
There you go.
I told her, I said, you're lucky you got the support of me that you do. You know, because I'm not going to stop.
Right.
I won't give up.
Well, that's,
she knows that.
That's what the baby and her both need, you know. They need good,
right.
good positive people in their pathway. And, you know, it should be successful further on down the road. You got to take it one day at a time. And, there's always room for hope. And that's what
right.
you have to, you know, keep hanging on to.
Exactly. And this is what Jonathan's Journeys page is all about, positive. It can't be nothing negative. If Megan's having a bad day, she's going to put it. If they're having a good day, she's going to put it out there. But in regards to the support back, it cannot be negative. It has to be positive. That's what will get her through. Besides me kicking her in the pants, you know, so to say, throughout all of this, you know, it's a lot to chew.
Yeah.
But he's a beautiful little baby. He's very good, you know. He has no idea what will take place at the moment, you know, but everyone that sees him, you know, nurses love him. Everybody loves them. They all stop, you know. They stop her in the store, wherever, and, oh, let me see the baby, you know. And what's good is she has not gotten any negative feedback in regards to what's the matter with his head or what's the matter with his eyes. You know what I mean? She hasn't gotten that, which is good.
That's good.
So that is our goal.
Did you know that the new Justice Department memo reveals that the president can order targeted killings of U.S. citizens?
Yep.
Going to Al-Qaeda.
That sounds like terrorist activity in itself, don't it?
Yes, it does.
Well,
you know, they're calling it the counterterrorism campaign.
Yeah, it's called the counterterrorism
campaign. Do you mind, Phil, if you can go back and from Tuesday's show and talk about that DEA thing in regards to the medication? I did hear some, but I did not hear it all.
that you were saying that they can look up your whole past, present, and future history pretty much on all of the medications you've ever taken and were dispensed without any prior knowledge or personal consent, you know?
They're trying to do it without a warrant.
Yeah.
Now, what is the reason for that? Is that because there are people that abuse prescription medications, or?
Well, if Stacey, you want to tell us why?
Well, I'm going to assume with the rise of prescription drugs being nowadays, if you look at the standards, more people are dying from PERC and VIKE overdoses, you know, those are opiates, versus heroin overdoses, because the drug of choice out there is prescription drugs, and they also make a lot of money on the streets, you know, depending on milligram size and, you know, taste, texture, and the whole nine yards, whatever your little fancy is. And there's a lot of money to be made on the streets with these prescription drugs. So in order to find the culprits of who's dispensing, et cetera, you look into a person's file of how much they're being issued, how often they're being issued, for what purpose they're being issued. And, you know, when you go to the pharmacy, everything's on computer. You know, they mess with Phil on a weekly basis on the radio show. They can do whatever they want. As long as something's on the internet, they have access to get into anybody's files. And that's pretty much the bottom line to it.
Yep.
I find that insane. I'm sorry. I can understand if they look at the fact in regards to people that abuse and do that.
Here's the article. In the pursuit of the failed drug war, business as usual. The Drug Enforcement Administration is the long arm of the failed drug war. And by any means necessary, in the federal government's collective mind, the drug war must go on. One way the government gains support for the war on drugs is with fear tactics. The latest scare, prescription drug addiction. The DEA is using the threat of the black market prescription drug trade to dig into people's private pharmaceutical records without a warrant. And at least in Oregon, it's a problem that is now headed to the court. The state of Oregon created the Oregon Prescription Drug Monitoring Program in 2009. It involves a database. There's the key word right there, database. Including information on everyone in the state who is receiving prescription drugs that have potential for abuse. Such drugs include pain pills that could be used for chronic disease or disabilities. Anxiety medication that could be used by someone with psychological issues. Or testosterone injections used by transgender persons. In other words, these are private medical issues. Now, did you know the other day that Obama put out a letter to all the physicians in the United States and abroad that if anyone, they want them to ask people if they own a gun?
Wow.
Do you know why they want to know if they own a gun?
Yeah, because if you got a gun and you got prescription meds, you got the paperwork for bad juju, according to other people.
In designing, the state required that the law enforcement agencies obtain a warrant before having access to any of these records. A warrant that requires the input of a judge instead of the federal law enforcement agency has been using administrative subpoenas, which no judge has to sign off on. In other words, the DEA is digging into the pharmaceutical records of the people of Oregon without any oversight. In an effort to stop this, the state of Oregon has sued the DEA with the ACLU coming in to help them. Their argument is a logical one, that the prescription records of a person are private and should therefore be protected by the Fourth Amendment, which covers unreasonable search and seizures. To this end, the DEA should have to get a warrant approved by a neutral judge before having access. The DEA says like garbage, like the garbage you put out for the garbage man, once your prescription records become the property of a third party, you have no expectation of privacy and they don't need a warrant. In the case of your garbage, this third party argument has worked. but your medical records are not garbage. You don't have to obtain this information, and it's certainly not like you to have a choice as whether your prescriptions are entered into the prescription drug monitoring program. Here's hoping the judge sees it that way. Our prescription drug laws are tricky because many people think the medication they are accused of abusing. In some cases, you could actually have a legitimate medical condition that warrants a prescription. But the war on drugs has made it increasingly difficult to get it through conventional means. Whatever the case, if you are now charged with the crime involving prescription drugs, get legal help. I'll repost that on the blog.
That is so friggin' insane.
It is.
I've been blessed with a very modern doctor. She's been in practice for a good amount of time, but she's hip to the times, I should say. And this was about 2-3 years ago. I had had surgery, and she had prescribed me pain medication. But she also handed me a piece of paper asking if I would consent to a urine test. And I looked at her and I said, absolutely not. I'm like, you know the reason why I'm having, you know, this prescription, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, I'm not peeing in a cup for nobody to know what's going on with me, et cetera, et cetera. And she was like, that'll fine. Just check off here that you don't want it, you know. But I was totally, totally flawed because I had had surgery. It wasn't that, you know, I rolled in off the street and said, oh, you know, I got an earache, my neck hurts, my ass hurts, whatever, give me pain medication, because that wasn't the case. But she had also said that everybody that was a patient of that practice, because of government stuff, had to be presented that piece of paper. So I wasn't the only one getting that piece of paper. But that's just, it's totally, totally messed up. I mean, I can understand that there are probably some people out there that do abuse that stuff. I'm not going to argue with that point. But the fact that they want to invade everybody's privacy, and, you know, you got a good amount of people in the population that, you know, are taking their medication for the reasons why they take it. And it's really none of nobody's damn business what they're taking in for what. And it's just, once again, you know, government can do what they want. We might as well just, you know, wipe our ass with the Constitution and give up all of our freedoms and just walk around like we're all in concentration camps and have numbers, you know, tattooed across our friggin' foreheads, because that's really where it's going.
Well, you know, if you haven't read the Bill of Rights lately, it's on my blog. Take the time to read it. Because you might not be able to read it anytime soon.
It's freaking horrible.
Yep. Hold on 1 second. Go ahead, 352.
Hey, guys. It's me, Terrell.
Hey.
What's happening out there?
We're just talking about a few things here and there, and we were talking about Nora's grandson. And then we were talking about prescription drugs with DEA, and got some runs coming up.
No, I got a golf tournament at the end of March that we're taking the bike to. I've got a car show next weekend we're taking the bike to. You know, so we're getting it out.
Yeah, you guys got over 5,000 hits last week.
Good. That was good.
Mhm. Have you been contacted by anybody yet?
No, everybody liking it on Facebook page, you know. No real dialogue with anybody.
Okay. But
it'll happen.
Yeah. And like I said, I post that. I'm going to repost it here probably for tomorrow. It's just I get overwhelmed with stuff. I got anywhere from 200 to 300 emails a day. I have to kind of go through everything.
That's about the Vietnam Vets motorcycle or the Vets motorcycle?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, that does.
But what did you think about the prescription drugs with the DEA?
Well, that's kind of a tender subject with me because I am on prescription meds for my injuries, and it's a federal, you know, it's a federal thing with me that, you know, I'm piss tested every 6 weeks, and, you know, I don't agree with the ATF getting involved, but that's gonna happen, and that's where we need to stand up for our Second Amendment rights. You know, I don't know the whole context of what was going on, but, you know.
It's on the blog. It's under DEA prescription, invading your privacy over prescription drugs.
Yeah, well, I kind of understand where they're coming from, because the Percocets are hillbilly heroin, you know, and there's a big market for them.
Yes.
You know, somebody's got to put that in checks and balances, whether it's, you know, the DEA, the ATF, you know.
Yeah, but the only problem with that is it's kind of like the whole Newcastle thing that's gone on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, they want to punish everybody's gun rights because of one incident. And yeah, that was a horrendous incident, but it's going to take a few bad apples with these prescription drugs, and it's going to penalize everybody else, like yourself, my mother, and maybe the guy on down the road that really needs to take these forms of medication. And it's just, it's, I don't know. You know, it's like you're at the point, do you write your congressman? Do you talk to your politicians? What do you do? Because it seems like they're all in cahoots. You can't get an honest word in edgewise that, you know, we still have rights. Our forefathers pounded this soil, spilt their blood on this soil and afar, you know, so we could have the Constitution and, like Phil said, the Bill of Rights and everything else. And it's like here lately, none of it counts for anything. And, you know, when are the people going to be heard?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're gonna get into that with when they try to make the medical records part of the background check to
get a
firearm.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, we got to stand up somewhere, you know, but that's coming down the pipe, and let's, you know, there's some big changes coming on Capitol Hill.
Yeah. You bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Yep. You know, so, I don't know how to answer that one.
What started, I heard about this last, about a week and a half ago in Boston, that they're going to start selling liability insurance for gun owners. California just put it on the books today.
Yeah, I had read bits and pieces about that, and I don't really know everything 100%, so I don't know. But I think, like, how do you put liability insurance on something like that? What if you accidentally fire it the wrong way? I mean, I don't understand that, but hey, you know.
Like I said, lawmakers in Massachusetts, they're considering a bill. Nuts and bolts, what I'm going to do is we're getting a lot. I got some people trying to jack me over on one side, so I'm going to mute everybody so I can read this, and I'll be right back when I'm done reading it. The nuts and bolts of liability insurance, the numbers on gun injuries and death indicate undeniably that guns are dangerous. However, cars also injure and kill people, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't own and use them. One of the ways that cars have been made less of a threat is with liability insurance, which is mandatory in all but two states. Insurance makes being on the road safer because it's extremely expensive if you have a poor driving record or in a demographic, say a young male, for example, known for being high risk on the road. The financial incentive encourages both encourage behavior that reduces risk of accidents. When it comes to gun liability insurance, it would work a lot like car insurance. You'd have to show proof that you have it before applying for a gun permit. Sellers would have to check for proof of insurance before every transaction. And the insurance company, as with life and car insurance, would have the right to collect and keep records about your age, mental health, address, marital status, credit records, how guns are stored and used, and other data would help determine costs. The riskier your profile, the less likely you would be able to afford to buy insurance. Thus, it would go a long way toward keeping guns out of the hands of those who are most likely to abuse them. Why is there opposition? Because most of us accept the need for various types of insurance. It's not always fair. We don't have to use it, but it helps spread the load of risk across society, particularly in the case of personal danger. However, opponents to gun insurance argue that it infringes on their Second Amendment rights by making gun ownership prohibitively expensive and places an unfair burden on legal, upstanding gun owners. Many gun owners see it as inappropriate encroachment by the government on their freedom. Second Amendment expert Stephen Holbrook says gun liability insurance would be so necessarily complex as to be unfeasible. And what about legal gun owners being held liable for crimes committed by third parties if the gun is lost or stolen? Opponents to the insurance argue that most crimes are committed by people who steal guns, and that forcing reasonable gun owners to pay for injuries or death committed by a third party is a massive overreach. The NRA is strongly opposed to mandatory liability insurance for gun owners. However, they do provide liability coverage for gun shows, gun sellers, and private owners who are NRA members. It would seem it is not liability insurance they oppose, but rather legislation that requires it. The NRA's primary insurance product protects gun shows and sellers against liability if someone is injured or killed during the show. But as soon as the gun leaves the building, it is uninsured unless the owner specifically buys an individual policy. The choice between bans and insurance, it seems likely that we'll see some increases in gun control in the U.S., especially given the wide support of most Americans for common sense gun owners. However, outright bans are unlikely, even on controversial assault-style weapons, and the fewer regulations, restrictions, and bans on guns, the higher the likelihood that liability insurance will continue to be debated. You know what a bad guy with a gun is afraid of? Does anybody know what a bad guy with a gun is afraid of?
Well, damn, you have to unmute us.
But I'm saying, do you know what a bad guy is afraid of with a gun?
Being arrested.
No, a good guy with a gun.
Good guy with a gun.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know that thing. Oh, I need to know, what is the legal length of a knife?
Depends on your state.
I don't know what it is in my state. Do you remember?
Do I remember?
Yeah. I thought it was like 6 inches.
No. You can, no, here, hang on, I'll get it for you. Wait a minute.
Okay.
And let's see. I just, here it is. Okay. Now, this is California. this basically goes to everybody, but the first, Section 5, dealing with law enforcement with pack and steal. First thing, don't get nervous. If you read this, you're not going to be breaking any knife laws. California's knife laws are pretty decent, better than most states, even the shell issue gun permit ones. If you're nervous, the cop will read that and he won't know what to think, but the conversation will go downhill. If you're walking past the cop with a legally concealed knife, don't pat the knife to make sure the concealment is effective. That's the number one way cops spot people packing guns legally. So basically, Nora, it depends, like, This is the state code. This is the state code for California, which the city I live in uses. They follow this, and here it is. It's the city code 20.10. Weapons possession in public are prohibited. No person shall appear in any street, alley, sidewalk, parkway, or any public place or place open to the public view while carrying upon his person or having in his immediate possession any dangerous or deadly weapon. This section shall not be construed to duplicate publications of California state statute or to prohibit the possession of weapons expressly authorized by California state statute. So it all depends on the length, like LA is 3.5 inches. Same down okay. here. They all go by the state standard. So if you look up, if you go in and you Google knife laws in Illinois,
right,
some answers.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to be obtaining one, you know, and it's not like it's going in public, you know, but like I said, I knew we talked about a long time ago. I just couldn't remember what it was, but I'll do that, Google it. But thank you.
Pretty much is, now mm-hmm. see, the local ordinances, this is where the law is going to get messy. Because if like some of the laws I read here, if it seems above confusing, as the saying goes, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because the local ordinances vary from city to city and country to county, or county to county. Whereas California courts have been inconsistent in ruling on the enforceability of these local laws. For example, the city of Los Angeles, it is illegal to publicly carry in plain view any knife, dirk, dagger having a blade 3 inches or more in length, an ice pick or similar sharp tool, any straight edge razor or razor blade fitted to a handle. There are certain exceptions, such as where a knife is for use in lawful occupation, for lawful recreational purposes, or is recognized as religious practice. Now, I want to inform you guys that that's bullshit, because if you guys remember Bill and I talking about Pastor Z, the guy's made him a sword, but it's
right.
a cross. And he had it on the back of his bike, and they were going to arrest him for a felony unless he took it back to the church.
Okay.
So, it, like I said, it all depends on your local ordinance.
Right. That's so crazy. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. See, there's no, see, like right now, there's no length on law for folding knives. In California.
Wow.
Mhm.
Yeah, this one isn't.
Yeah, well.
But
so
I do have some of those. Huh?
What do you need a knife for?
You know, this thing is awesome. When I get it, I'm going to take a picture and send it to you. It is the most awesome one I've ever seen. I thought, oh, I have to have that. And it comes with a nice case, you know, but it's like military grade. It's cool.
Sounds like a couple that I have.
It's double sided, you know, like.
Sounds like a couple that I have.
Yeah, it's wicked. As soon as I saw it, it's like I gotta get one.
So how's the snow, Stacy?
Hasn't started yet. It starts tomorrow. 25
yeah.
inch, 60 mile per hour winds. They can keep it.
They said you by the end of the day tomorrow, you should get 28.5 inches.
Yeah, whatever. They can keep it. I don't want it.
Okay.
It ain't going to be nothing but a pain in the ass.
Why?
Yeah.
Weren't you telling me they closed all the schools and everything?
Yeah, everything's shut down for tomorrow. No schools open, no buses, no nothing. Everything's pretty much going to be to a dead halt.
So you got a 3-day weekend?
Pretty much. That's the way it's going to go. I'm going to be snowbound in the house.
Snowbound? Don't you have a fireplace?
Yeah, but it hasn't had fire on it for a long time.
Okay. I got a fireplace. That
nice
baby,
to be you.
That baby will be fired up here in about an hour.
Nice.
As I slurp on my cold Pepsi.
Your cold Pepsi.
Yeah. You know, it's the 25th of this month, it'll be 28 years.
Good for you. I bless you both.
That's awesome.
Yep. My mama told me lips that touch liquor will never touch mine.
Yeah.
So, you You're gonna go to the. You're gonna take the vet's bike to a couple of shows. What kind of shows?
Let's see. We got a Kiwanis car show and bike show for their Relay for Life.
Since most of the people are going to be in snow or in sunny California, in Florida, correct?
Yep. Good old sunny Florida. You know, the high today was 80.
Nice to be you.
You know.
Hunters, and what's the other one?
The other one is I've got a golf tournament at the end of March for my 82nd Airborne Association.
Cool.
You were with the 82nd Airborne?
No, ma'am. I was with another airborne group.
Okay.
And here in Florida, we have this chapter here is all airborne. We accept everybody that earned their jump wings.
Okay.
But I got pushed out of the plane.
The first time, yeah.
Can't wait to do it again.
Yeah. The first one's a tough one.
Yeah, it was. I couldn't understand why I was being thrown out of a perfectly good airplane. I was comfortable right where I was sitting.
So what else is happening?
This week has been just taking care of Nora's grandson.
Okay.
Got a few things working on the West Coast. I hope to have some things by the end of next week going on in the Midwest and the East Coast. But was born with crina. What's that word, Nora?
It's a craniosynthesis.
Yeah. If you go on. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's a premature fusion of the skull while a child is developing inside the womb.
Oh. Okay.
It makes the skull and the face disfigured.
Right.
Like in my grandson's case, it's in the front and then the side of his head. It's like the side of his head is caved in, and it doesn't look like you can see the bone deformity on the forehead, and it shows that perfect line with the eyes. Okay, they have to be reset. And it looks like the nose is broken. They have to redo that as well, because as it is, if you get any kind of congestion, it drains out of his one eye because the way the nasal passage is. And if he doesn't have surgery, it can cause blindness. Permanent neurological problems, and as well as problems with the spine.
Okay. And what are some of the prenatal stuff that needs to be done
to correct
it? Yeah, to spot it.
Well, normally with the birth of a child, you may see a little slight offness shape with the head. You know, sometimes that's normal, and you just adjust the baby side to side, back. You know, so this way it shapes the head better.
Right.
In his case, it doesn't matter what you do. It's his skull closed while inside the womb, so he doesn't have a soft spot. Okay, so what they have to do is cut ear to ear across the front, pull the scalp up, pull the face down, take so much of the bone out, put plates in so his brain can grow as his head
you know, grows at the same time. They have to realign his eyes and fix his nose, put everything back, stitch it, and he has to wear a helmet for 18 months until it heals.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is when I was married to my first wife, Down syndrome had been in her family in
mm-hmm.
the past, and there were tests that we underwent to make sure that we weren't going to have Down syndrome kids.
Right. Because of what is genetic. Right. This can be genetic. Genetic testing and other forms of testing has to be done. It is a birth defect, okay, but it doesn't mean, like, if my daughter were to have another child that he or she could end up the same way. But
okay.
It is a good possibility, okay? The pediatric neurosurgeons don't always know why this happens, but it does. But unfortunately, surgery is imminent. In regards to testing, I won't know that until next month because they did a CAT scan on him. And we don't know if there's any other damage in the head. There is a chance he can come out special needs or he will be just fine. We don't know that yet.
Okay.
So, and he's just going to be 3 months old. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, until prior to surgery with testing, we're not going to know a whole lot. And then even after surgery, we're not going to know for a while.
Okay.
But it's okay. He's a blessing. He's a blessing, no matter what.
Okay. So, anything else happening, guys?
No, that's it, man. We're just going. Hard. It's kind of hard when you're talking about this and then trying to talk about something upbeat or something else. Because,
I know.
Kids are a soft spot with me and also with Bill. And a lot of my friends, the same thing. We do Down syndrome rides. We do cancer rides for kids. We do all kinds. We do keep things for the orphans, all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, It's kind of hard to plan a show around that when you want to bring someone in to give updates, you know.
Right. Oh no. I understand it.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't. That's the problem.
Right. A lot of people don't understand, or they, you know, like I said, I'm just blessed at this point that nobody has approached my daughter and said, what's the matter with your son, you know, because it's very stressful on her, as it is, and people have been very genuine to not point that out to her.
Yeah.
You know, to us, we don't see it, you know. Because we just love them no matter what.
Well, you know, it's like I told you, that little kid.
Zachary. He is so adorable.
Little kid, that kid gets more action than most guys I know. It's unbelievable. I'm telling you, I was at the Easy Rider show. I turned around, he had these girls, I forget, there's something angels. But they were beautiful. I mean, drop dead beautiful. And I turn around and here he is, and they're both hugging and kissing on him, and I'm like, and I'm standing there with a few other guys, but I tap Bill and I said, hey, what's wrong with that picture? He goes, what do you mean?
Because it wasn't you two.
Well, he said, because I'm not in it. And I started laughing. I go, yeah, but look at. Everywhere, every time we turned around, that little kid was getting more action. Unbelievable.
He is so beautiful. He is. He is just, oh, when I see his photos, it just makes me smile. He's just a beautiful little boy.
Yeah.
Just beautiful.
Yeah, we're gonna
That's just how it is.
We're gonna see if we can get some stuff generated for this, Norm.
I know. Thank you. It's so much appreciated because we don't know what we're fully up against. We're still in the process of,
Well, I'm sure if you have any questions about anything, I know Ramona told you to call her at any time.
Right. Well, she has my number, you know, and I can talk to her anytime, you know, online, and she can call me when it's convenient for her. But like I said, thank God, you know, she guided me in the way that she did because I just, you know, I'm coming in blindsided on certain things, and it's like, okay, I know what I need to do, but how do I do this, you know? And trying to find support groups is really crazy because I thought if I could put support groups on that, on his page, you know, it would help for other people that would possibly go to the page and see he's not the only one or someone else's child isn't the only one. So the best I can do at this moment is just keep posting videos of what craniosynostosis is, the different types of it, and, you know, and have top pediatric, you know, neurosurgeons explain it. You know, because up until with my grandson, I had no idea what it was, never heard of it.
Right. Well, here's something you may want to do. I mean, you know, because all of us veterans have these great big soft mushy hearts, hit some of the, you know, the VFWs, the American Legions, the DAVs, those people for, you know, some input and some outreach because
okay.
You never know. You never
right.
know what you're going to run into.
Well, you know, families have a array of diversity. Every family has a diversity of some sort, almost, you know. And it doesn't, military, it doesn't matter. There's diversity in so many families that none of us know about, you know, because it's either a secret or people don't know where to go. You know, I mean, that's the sad thing of it. Until you're in it, you have no idea, you know, when you hear of something. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Here's another place you may want to go, the Shriners Hospital.
Yep.
Right. I've still been waiting for a phone call back from the Shriners. I have left three calls so far with the Shriners. Shriners are big.
Just go to the closest hospital, you know, the closest Shriner hospital where you are,
mm-hmm.
and ask to talk to somebody in the hospital, and that'll fast track you there because I take my son every Wednesday to the Shriner Hospital, you know.
Okay.
So it's, and, you know, phone calls with them people are like calling the IRS, you know.
Well, I don't like to call the IRS, and I don't think I've ever done that so far yet in my life, so, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like calling a government agency, you know, they're going to put you on hold for forever, you know.
And you get nowhere, right.
But if you walk in the door and explain your story,
right.
You know, then, you know, there might be some, I know Shriners has some outreach stuff.
Right.
Yeah, they do.
It's just game. Right. It's just, you know, like I said, my daughter already has for social services. As Phil and Stacy, as we had talked about on Tuesday's show, so she has to meet with them on the 19th of this month. So, you know, we're getting there. And I pound hard. I don't care. You know, I won't stop. And even if he wasn't my grandson, I'd still pound hard for somebody else's child. You do what you do. We're parents. We have that soft heart.
Yep. And he's absolutely right, Nora. It's like I told you, there's... there's not going to be a few people. We're going to bring loads of people in on this.
Right. Like I said, it needs to be big because people need to be aware. It's something that people need to be aware of. And I'm not afraid to be out there naked, so to say, hey, you know, you don't know about this. Here you go. If you need help with something, go over here. You know, be an advocate instead of being sitting quietly in the back, you know, and hoping that everything will fall into place all on its own. I'm not, I will not bury my head in the sand and think that. I'm not that type of person.
Uh-huh.
I am a fighter and I don't care, you know, how I'll get one way or another. You know, and that's, you know, that's the strength that, you know, I'm hoping that my daughter will gain out of all this.
All right.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, hold on a second. Is that you, Pastor Z?
Yes, sir, I'm here. How you doing, Brother Phil?
We're doing good.
Good.
We're just talking to, Nora about her grandson. He was born with cranial synostosis.
Cranial synostosis.
And basically, we set up a page, and I hooked her up with some people out here in California. And she's looking to get some donations to help them out because they don't happen to have insurance. And the young man needs to get this surgery done, and there's a Facebook page and a few links and stuff. So Pastor Z is calling in tonight to talk about a thing that he's going to do at his church on Saturday, and Bill said to apologize, but he knew you'd understand that he was sick because Nora jinxed him because he didn't get a flu shot.
Oh, boy.
My fault. I'm sorry.
But,
Well, we'll pray for your grandson, sweetie. Absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of bikers that care. And so, you know, if you put something up on Facebook, there's going to be a lot of people hitting on that. Phil will help me to find it. And we'll get all of our buddies over to the page, too.
Okay.
And,
thank you.
Get a lot of prayers going. And, you know, maybe somebody in the area could put on some kind of benefit rally or something like that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, because that's what we're trying to do with this page, reach out, you know, not only for information for people that aren't aware of it, but, you know,
sure,
in regards to being a positive force, because, you know, I'm a strong person. It's getting my daughter, being a first-time mom, getting hurt. She's in that postpartum still. He's just 2 months old, soon to be 3 months old.
You know,
so, and she has medical problems as well from the delivery, so it's like, okay, I'm going to kick in the butt, I'm going to get through this, you know, this is what we need to do. It'll be like
a
daily
journal. What area of the state are you in?
Outside of Chicago.
You folks live outside of Chicago?
Yeah, the south side.
And then does your daughter live in Chicago too?
She lives with me. They both do.
Okay. Yeah.
She's been a friend of the show for a long, long time.
That's cool. There's a ministry in downtown, in like Old Town Chicago, called Jesus People USA.
Okay.
And in fact, the guy that's playing at my church on Saturday night is one of the head pastors out there.
Okay.
And he's an old school rock and roll guy and a blues player. His name is Glenn Kaiser, and this is going to be at a concert in Oceanside, California. We have a place called Rushing Wind Biker Church.
Okay.
And so anybody that's free on Saturday night, it's a free concert. We'd love to have you. This guy has 41 albums out.
Wow.
41. So he's been going a long time playing rock and roll and blues, and he's a pastor too. So what I'll do is I'll get Phil's contact. I'll get Glenn's contact info to Phil,
Okay.
So that he can get back to you with it, because I don't have it in front of me. But they have a ministry called Jesus People USA, and there's like 400 people that live communally, and they have all different kinds of outreach ministries and different things. So maybe he could help, you know, kind of brainstorm together with you to help, you know, get some ideas going.
Okay, or if you need my information.
I'm sending it as you guys are talking right now.
I'll get it from Phil, sweetie.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just sent it to you, Pastor Z.
Yeah, you bet. And, you know, the church is, that we're going to be having this outreach at, it's in Oceanside, California. The address is 4168 Avenida de la Plata. You can call 760-940-0257. And I'm actually the bass player in a band called the Full Throttle Band.
Which those guys are awesome.
Yeah, thank you, bro. We're gonna open up the show, and then Glenn is gonna hop up on the stage for our blues set, and then we're gonna do a whole electric blues set with him, and we're gonna be his backup band. So I've been pounding the pavement, you know, inviting folks and getting it on Facebook. Probably put it on there at least 10 times. People are probably getting sick of seeing it, but we're trying to get as many people out there as we can. It's a free concert. We have like a potluck dinner at 5, and then the music starts at 6, and it's this Saturday night. And me and Phil will compare notes, and I'll get some info to Pastor Glenn, who's going to be our guest artist, and he'll try to connect and, you know, do what they can on their end to help out too.
Yeah. See, you know, that's what I was trying to tell you. We have the will and the way, and
right.
once the biking community finds out, we rally behind everybody.
Yeah, we do. Right. We do a lot of benefit rallies for like St. Jude's Hospital for little kids with tumors and all this, and we'd be glad to try and get something rolling out here.
Okay, thank you.
Well, we will talk to the brothers and sisters in Chicago too, because they're a lot closer to y'all than we are.
Right.
So, anyway, Phil, I love you, love what you're doing, and we support you 100%, buddy. You
appreciate
gonna make it.
It
out there Saturday night?
Yeah, I should be there.
Sweet. Good. Be blessing to have you, bro.
All right, man. And if I can fit that picture in my saddlebag.
Don't worry about it. Just leave it at Kennedy's. I'll get over there.
Okay, you got it.
But, Nora, if Phil shows up at the concert, he'll come up and poke me, and we'll do a prayer from the stage with everybody in the room. What's your grandson's name?
Jonathan.
What is it?
Jonathan.
And
I sent you the link to the Facebook page.
Okay, cool. And what's your daughter's name, sweetie?
Megan.
What is
Megan,
it?
Megan, M-E-G-A-N.
Megan?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I want to pray for them both and for you right now, okay?
Thank you.
This is Biker Prayer Radio going into effect. All you folks out there that are cool with praying, join me in this prayer. Lord God, we lift up this little boy to you, Jonathan. We pray that you would be with him, God, and we pray that you would be with Megan and also with Nora. That you would just open doors for them to be able to get the help that they need for this little guy. And, Father, we know that you're an awesome God and that you're a powerful God and that you can do anything. We pray that you touch this little young man and that you minister to him, God. Minister to his family. Just be there for them, God. Help them to find a church that they can connect with out there. I pray that Pastor Glenn and those guys can get this information. And maybe they can help out and get some other folks in the area to pull together. And we commit this to you, Lord, and we just ask you to just do a work of your grace and just do a miracle in this little guy's life, Lord. We lift him up to you. We know that you love him. You love Megan. You love Nora. And your heart's broken with theirs over this situation. And I just pray that you pull all the resources together that they're going to need.
and that you would just miraculously touch us, Holy God. And we commit them to you now, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we love you. And
thank you.
We will keep you in our prayers. I got to get off the phone now, but I'll get a hold of Phil. I'll get all the info about the Facebook page, and we'll light it up.
Yeah, okay. It's over there. I just sent it to you in an email, so you can check it there.
Brother.
If you got any questions, just hit me up.
Will do.
All right, man.
Okay.
Thank you.
We love you guys.
Love you too, man.
Stop on out Saturday night if you're in Southern California. No matter where you're at, it would be worth the drive. Rushing Wind Biker Church in Oceanside. And the address is 4168 Avenida de la Plata in Oceanside. The phone number is 760-940-0257. God bless you all. We love you.
All right, man. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. You get a little bit of everything here.
Yes, we do.
It's a good guy.
Matter
of fact, I'm going to tell you a story about those guys. About a week and a half ago, it was raining cats and dogs. And about 9:20, Bill called me. He said, you ain't going to believe this. And I said, what? He said, Pastor Z's out here with about 60 people. It's raining cats and dogs, and they're riding to L.A., which is like 120 miles north of us. And they went up there for a cancer benefit. So no matter what the cause, no matter what the weather, just like the mail, whether rain, heat, or snow, or whatever, however that goes, we're there. It snowed in, Stacy. You need somebody to shovel. You know, I'm sure I can make a connection for you in Boston. I'll help you out.
On the trips.
We got some backup shovel people on hand because I can't.
You have snow blowers? Well, oh, you can't do it yet.
I can't manhandle none of that stuff.
That's okay. I'll send a couple of boys over from the you know where.
There you go.
More than welcome. They can come shovel. Absolutely.
I'll just have to feed them and give them some beer.
No. Well, there's no beer in the house, but I can definitely feed them. I can cook up a storm. You know?
There you go.
Ain't no alcohol in here. Shoot. My mother would probably have the heart attack of her life. But, you know, that's all good.
Okay. Just tell her I sent them. She can yell at me.
Hey, there you go. That works. You might not like the way she yells, though.
Does she like you?
Dude, where do you think I get my feisty side from?
Been yelled at by the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my poor mother's sick right now. She's under
the
weather.
Is she doing okay?
No. It just seems like it's been this one big downhill spiral since she's come home. And, you know, it's one of them things. It is what it is. We got a lawyer coming out this week. Guy I pursued, he's out of Boston. He's actually one of the best malpractice attorneys in the state of Massachusetts.
Right.
I went through several different connections to get this guy, and he's traveling from Boston to come here to the home. Sit with my mom, so I'm hoping she gets some clarity with that, you know. So other than that, it's just day by day, and that's it, pretty much. You know.
Well, she's blessed to have you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, with her, like with your grandson, there's hope for the future, you know.
I know.
This is a done deal. There's no correction.
I know. There's no going back, and there's no change. I know.
Right, and I think, you know, that's the most. Me and my brother keep telling her that she needs to hang on. She has to, you know, see her great granddaughter, who hasn't, you know, is due down here.
Been seen yet? Right.
Yeah, you know, and that she needs to just kind of stick it through. But she has her days where. She don't care to be
be here anymore, you know, and it's like I can't change her train of thought, because quite frankly, if I was in her shoes, I wouldn't want to be here neither, you know.
I know. I went through that with my family before they passed on. That's hard.
Yeah, so we just try to go day by day, because that's all we can do at this point.
I know.
Life, sometimes it's very cruel.
it throws
you these big curveballs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we never know why, and we can't understand it. We just have to go with it and see where it takes us.
But that damn Bill, he didn't get his flu shot. Shame on him.
Shame on me, because I told him, I said, if you get the flu shot, they don't give you the strain for this year. What's the point of getting one? I haven't had one in 18 years.
What kills me is they didn't give him one in the hospital, like before he
left. Yeah, they should have. The pneumonia shot.
Yep, that's what blew my mind, man. The man came out of, you know, he was pretty sick. And, you know, you would think that they would have said, here, Bill, we're going to give you the flu shot to, you know, make sure you stay good and healthy and blah, blah.
And the pneumonia shot because of his age, you know.
Yep, and they didn't do nothing of the sort. What the hell?
I know. What the hell was he in the hospital for? You know what I mean?
Hey.
They let you loose and don't finish.
Phil, you better make sure with him throwing up that he's staying hydrated.
Yeah.
Pushing that water, you know, because
Or Pedialyte will put the electrolytes back.
Yeah, Gatorade.
Let me take a quick break here. This one's called, this one's by Everlast, and it's called What It's Like. get, we'll get. So yeah, you know, once these guys started the ball rolling, you're gonna be overwhelmed, but don't be.
I know. It took everything to hold back tears before, so you know, it's just it is what it is, you know.
My best friend just sent me a text message stating her dog just puked on her. I can't. Oh, my God. That's so gross, but it's so funny.
Billy had to hang up so he could throw up.
Oh, yeah. That's gross, too. Yuck. There's definitely something bad in the air, man, as long as it stays away from me.
What did the hurricane say to the coconut tree?
Let me shake your coconut.
Yeah, I was going to shake it.
No, hold on to your nuts. This ain't going to be your typical blowjob.
Oh, oh, I can't.
Okay, why did the gay worker lose his job at sperm bank?
Wait. Don't go there right here.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Okay, sorry. It's just a joke.
It'll come out, I know that, but it'll come out of the woodwork.
Okay, I'm sorry. Erase that thought. I'll tell you in private.
Bill mentioned lesbians one time, and we didn't stop hearing about it for 6 months.
Oh, my God. Ouch.
Yep.
Yep. You know, it's funny. I don't know if we told you guys a story about when we were in, when we went to the prison run.
Yeah, you guys are going to go to it this year, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going again. But, No, man, there was a knock on the door. And just before that, the guy staying in the room and he said, "Lord, let there be a naked woman come to the door." All of a sudden here, I open the door, it's a girl wrapped in a towel with a bunch of 20s in her hand.
Oh.
True story.
And then what did you do?
Huh?
Yeah, what did your friend say?
And then what did you do?
What did I do? Nothing. When I opened the door, she said, "Oh, I got the wrong room."
Oh, oh my God.
That's classic.
You know, why can't I ever have that look with, you know...
a guy? Yeah, I know, right?
Let me tell you something. We're trying to put together Thunder from Down Under is going to be at one of the casinos over here in June. And
You have to go see them there. I'm so freaking hot.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I'm going to Bermuda in June. From June to July, I'll be down there for the 4th. Which they don't celebrate the 4th, but that's okay. I'll be down there for cup match. And then I want to go see Thunder from Down Under.
Yep.
Oh, you have to. They do a constant show in Vegas. Oh, my God.
Well, Flea, you guys know who Flea is.
Right.
She flew out to Vegas to see these guys perform. She took like a 4-day holiday out in Vegas to go gamble and watch a bunch of strippers.
I'm telling you, I would grab all of them.
Yeah, I only like the long-haired ones, man.
They have long-haired ones.
Yep, long hair and a fuzzy face. It all works.
I don't care. Just as long as I know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely know what type of dude I'm into if you see, like, the movies I watch. I watch Braveheart. I watch all Lord of the Rings. You know, all these dudes got long hair. They got fuzzy faces. They can hold a sword. They can fight. You know?
I got everything with a fuzzy face.
Yeah, no. You're a blonde, dude. That's a blonde.
He is not. He colors his hair, remember?
Bullshit.
Oh, yeah. No, I like the dark hair. Dark hair, green eyes, you know?
The other guy's got the white hair. I have the dark hair.
You got blonde hair.
I don't have blonde.
You're a blonde.
I don't have blonde hair.
Who doesn't have blonde hair?
Me.
You? Yes, you do. Your hair's blonde.
No, it's not.
Dark brown. What the hell color is it?
No, he's got dark hair.
It looks light. It looks like that golden blonde, man. You look like a typical California man.
No. You know, I'll tell you a story. I went to Tennessee a couple of years ago. And Hermes, Charlie, and Chuck were picking me up at the airport, right?
Yeah.
About 50 feet from me, and Charlie flings open the door. And when they stopped in front of me, all I heard was, look at that fucking guy's tan.
Yeah, but do you have a hillbilly tan, or do you have an actual normal tan?
I have an actual tan.
Okay.
So you sunbathe, in the backyard with the shirt off, then. You don't have that red ring around the neck.
Sunbathe in the backyard.
Oh, my God. Guys, you're making me laugh too hard. It's hurting. I can't.
Yeah, but we need to laugh, so we're going to say funny shit. You know, nobody this week has accused me of being the guy.
Oh, my God. No, that's usually me. They're like, who's the dude? Sorry, that's me. 30 years of smoking 2 packs a day will do that to you, but I'm smoke-free now, so maybe I'll go through puberty again and get a high-pitchy voice. Who knows?
Well, if you're running into any problems, let me know, and I'll send you a set of balls.
With a big gun.
I got my own big brass coconut elephant balls from the jungle, Phil. You don't know that by now?
No, I sent, you know Betsy in Boston?
No.
No? Well, she's doing a lot of things right now, but she used to come on the show regularly, and she was having a hard time with some guy at an insurance seminar or some shit. And she said, I wish I had a set of balls. So about a week went by, and I was working on one big 300-ton crane.
Yeah.
And they were just golf balls, so I sent her two in a box.
That's awesome. That works.
Yeah, if you go, I won't tell that story.
Okay.
Yeah, see, I hate when people start that and then, no, I change my mind or, you know, forget it. And it's like, wait, you started it. Yeah.
Well, Ryan's here. He's late, but he's here.
Hi, Ryan.
So I just challenged him to call in. We'll see if he decides to pick up the phone or not.
What is art? Is Art in the chat room? Is Art around?
Art. Sometimes he can do it at work, and sometimes he can't.
Is Art here or no?
No. That's what I just said. Sometimes he can do it, sometimes he can't.
I know.
But,
You need to get some sexy people on the show, dude.
Huh?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
On the show besides, like, females. We need some male sexy people.
Well,
yeah.
The ones that usually are available, right now they're all filming.
Right.
Well, there are all the sexy people in the world.
Are you sure about that?
They come from California. Yes, they do.
Well, you know, speaking of that, I did send that person a message that you asked me about. And in the middle of doing something right now with the shop. So once everything settles down, I get a call in.
Wait a minute. Who are you talking to, me or Nora?
You
ding-dong.
Me? Now, wait a minute. Which person are we talking about? Because
what
did
you ask? Wait. Think about
north.
This now.
The one that's way north of me.
Way north. Okay.
Is the bulb on yet?
I don't know. You're where again? Where are you?
San Diego.
Okay, what's below you?
Mexico.
So, way above you, huh? I don't know.
Okay. Whose article did I have? Thanks.
Oh, okay. All right. Is that the,
okay.
is that what we're talking about from that end?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Man.
Wow, we finally cracked the light bulb.
There was somebody else. Remember I told you about somebody else? I asked you if you were going to be in a certain area.
Yeah, about the Duck Dynasty.
No, not Duck Dynasty. Well, that too. It'd be great to get the Duck guys on the show. But, no, I had talked to Phil on the side, and I was like, yo, if you're ever in this area, need to hold up a sign. Oh, my God. So I wasn't sure. I just, you know, I don't know the state of California too well. What's where and...
Well, he's like at the close to the bottom of the state.
Okay.
The other one is towards, like, in above the middle part, you know?
How many
and
hours
then,
to drive from one end of California to the other?
Well, it depends on what you're in or on. But I made it in... 8 hours and 42 minutes.
Wow.
Wow.
No kidding.
Yeah, now it's just taking time to stop for gas.
Damn.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No.
Shit, you could drive around the whole state of Rhode Island in less than 4 hours. We're just itty-bitty over here.
Yeah, Ryan's going to pick up the horn here. He just said he just got home. Probably at school tonight.
Ryan in school?
Yeah, he had some stuff he wanted to talk about, so I told him, all right. And then I know last time he went to school, they canceled it, but... So...
I'm hoping to meet him.
That would be cool. Ryan,
there might be a possibility he'll be coming through this way. And if
that's
so,
cool.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah, that's cool. Ryan's a cool cat. He's all right.
Excuse me.
Well, I just thought I'd let you know it was the day that passed and I didn't have to use algebra.
Algebra? Oh, I hate algebra. Algebra's some nasty stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the way for him. There he is.
Hi, Ryan.
All right, man.
Oh, hey, how's it going? I was still waiting for the deal to come through. Didn't realize I was on. I was just kind of sitting here messing around trying to get the computer set up. And so how's everybody doing tonight?
Waiting on snow.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Good.
Stacy's waiting on snow. I'm in ice. What is it? Phil is in decent weather, and do you have snow, sleet, mix, or where are you? What do you
actually
have?
Today was gorgeous. It started getting cold when I was coming back home, but earlier today it was probably 50, 60 degrees out. Sun was shining, no wind or nothing.
Damn, it must
so,
be nice. We're getting
I'm guessing Saturday afternoon we're going to be getting hit from what everybody's kind of saying.
Where you at, Ryan?
Colorado.
Colorado.
Oh, Colorado. Yep. See, I'm right in New England. I'm over here in Rhode Island.
Right. Yeah, you're a little bit, a lot northeast.
Yeah.
Of me. So, yeah, I've got a sister over there in Beckley, West Virginia.
Okay.
But, so what all is going on in the world? I wasn't able to listen to much of the show at school, but I'm a little bit late tonight, so.
Well, we had a... We had a little prayer for Nora's grandson.
Okay.
And Tuesday, basically, she's talked to everybody. There's going to be more people going to talk to her, but we got the ball rolling on a fundraiser for Jonathan.
Well, good deal. And I did listen to that show on Tuesday, Nora, but I didn't want to call in because it was your show happening. I didn't want to take away from it, so I just listened.
Yeah. No, that's okay. I mean, you could have. It's just my daughter was on the show with us for the first time, and it with her being still postpartum, it's reality, you know, after a show, like, hitting in with
mm-hmm.
her. Because it, being a young mom, it's not like it didn't freak her out when
you know, they said he needed surgery. But it's like the hitting, the reality finally smacked her on Tuesday. And so she was quiet because she was crying as, you know, my grandson was sleeping. Because we just look at him and, like, you know, he's such a beautiful baby, you know, but
right.
We know it has to be done. And she didn't know actually all the information. So when I had stated it, because she wasn't ready to hear it yet, you know what I mean? So
right.
She had no choice Tuesday. And so she's in a different place than what she was prior to the show.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's tough
news
to hear.
It's hard to swallow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, hopefully he can get the help he needs and, you know, get that taken care of.
Exactly. But you know what? He has no idea the bitch of a grandma I am, and I will get shit done.
Right. Yeah, he's lucky.
I don't mean it
you.
In a bad way, but I mean just being a fighter. That's all I know. It's
right.
Just, you know, one way or another, it's going to get done. It's going to happen.
Right.
So I can be stubborn, but I am very adamant.
Not you.
Oh, yes, me. I admit it. I don't run away from my feelings.
Right. So are you, I know that you did a lot of fundraising stuff on Tuesday. Do you have any events, poker runs, any of that that you guys are thinking of doing? I know that's awful short notice, but he's, you know, kind of on a time crunch. I wasn't sure if there's anything you're trying to get started.
Well, there's a couple of things going on out here where we're gonna pass the hat at a big event.
Okay.
And there's also probably Saturday they'll pass the hat at the thing that Pastor Z is doing.
Okay.
Yeah, Pastor Z also said he was gonna
connect us with the Chicago chapter of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good.
And
which will be great. Have you seen the like page, Ryan? That I
no,
did?
I haven't. Uh-uh.
Okay,
I'll
post it on your
up.
Wall.
Yeah, do that. And I'll start
Okay.
What's your story, Nora?
I will.
Okay.
It's all in there. And there's videos and stuff I posted on that page. So this way, people that aren't aware what craniosynostosis is, they'll be able to see the videos and understand what it is. Because I never heard of it until when my grandson was diagnosed with it. And I said, oh, my God, what is this? And,
right,
you
no,
know,
absolutely.
Right away, getting online and, okay, and I'm looking, I'm like, oh, my God, my heart just fell.
Yeah.
So,
now, in that situation, what exactly do they do for that? Do they go in and try to separate the plates in his head so that it can continue to grow, or what are the options?
No, actually what they do is they take so much of the skull out and replace it with plates. So as he grows, his brain has room to grow.
Gotcha.
Because right now, there's no room. His head will not expand. You know, like it normally should. And if it doesn't get treated, he could become blind, severe neurological damage, and spinal problems as well.
Oh, absolutely. Just the pressure on his brain will cause a lot of issues. So,
he's got to learn to be a fighter. He's in with me and my daughter. This family is going to fight, trust me. So I have to kick him in the pants all the way there.
Well, sometimes you got to do that.
Right.
So, honestly, I'm at a loss for words. When it comes to kids and things having to get done, I wish there was a lot more that I could do. If there's anything that I can do to help you spread the word or whatever, let me know.
Right.
I'll
connect you to the page, and then it just goes from there.
Okay.
It's public, you know, so everybody should be able to see it.
Okay. All righty.
And that's the way word goes, is
pass the info, and poof, it just goes viral.
Exactly.
So, it's which is good because it'll be like a daily journal for my daughter as well, you know.
Right.
And everybody will get to see, you know, movements, photos, when things are hard on her, if she's having a good day, whatever, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is about, plus information, you know, because not a lot of people know what it is.
Right. Now, is this stuff going to be happening all in Chicago, or is there someone else that you need to go to, like the Mayo Clinic or St. Jude's?
No, this is
going to
take place here. This is going to take
okay.
place here. He actually, we actually have the top. Chicago is like a hub, you know, for like the best doctors as well as other states. You know,
uh-huh.
every state has a main hub
okay.
for this. He actually has a top pediatric neurosurgeon here, plus the chief of it as well. So I can't get any better than that.
Right. Okay.
And it's a team of four.
Okay.
It's a team of four of them.
Okay. Yeah, it's a heartbreaking situation. I just fall short of words. So.
Yeah. You know, it takes everything sometimes not to cry because it's very hard. You know,
right.
I just suck it up until, like, afterwards and, you know.
Right.
And let it out and then suck it up and, okay, time to dust off and keep going.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep. Now, you're in, where are you at right now? Are you in Chicago?
Yeah, I'm on the south side.
Okay, now why is it saying that you're in Dillon, Montana?
Why does it say
really?
I'm coming to you?
Yeah, on the post that you put on my wall, it says that you're in Dillon, Montana.
Oh, because... okay. I'm right close by you. Come and get me.
I know it.
No, what I do sometimes is like, if I say, like, I'm getting comfy in my bed or something, and when it brings up a box of places that you could like for what you're saying, you know, or, like,
mm-hmm.
where you're at. And so I don't know. Some it just slaps me anywhere. So it's like, all righty.
Right on. Just curious. I thought maybe you'd, you know.
No, but if I did, trust me, I'd call you and say, guess where I'm at.
Right. Well, you'd be a hell of a lot closer in Dillon, but that'd still be a little bit of a drive.
Well, yeah.
So we'd make it happen.
Yep.
Okay,
oh, but let me know if you can make it happen this way. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Once you find out.
Yep, we'll give her hell. Hopefully later on this summer is what I'm planning.
Right.
So.
Sweet.
Yes.
So don't forget to send me the pictures.
Yes, I will. I've actually got a sticky note stuck on my computer screen, so every time I open my laptop, I see that.
Okay.
I've just got to pick out the newest girl and figure out why that last batch didn't want to post. I don't know what happened there.
Oh, it was
so.
Them. They were screwing
okay.
with it. They were screwing with it.
Okay.
I haven't had a chance to go in and fix it yet, but I'm going to try it later.
Okay, that works. Yeah, because she got a hold of me and wanted to share the link, and I said, well, sweetie, I'd love you to share the link, but, you know, something's messing with it, and we better hold off until we get it handled.
Yeah.
So.
But I'll take care of that today.
Yeah, nope, when you get time, I understand. No problem.
If not, you'll just roll into next week.
Okay, yeah, and that works too. I've got a couple shoots coming up in the next couple weeks that'll be pretty good, so if we need to do that, that's fine too. I'm easy.
All right. You might want to tell them skin to win. No, I'm kidding.
There we go.
But, I figure I'm going to take a shot with Little Queensryche. This one's called Silent Lucidity. And I'll see all you guys Tuesday.
Okay.
Sounds
good
like
night.
A deal. All right.
All right.
Ada.
All right, good night, guys.
Good. Brofax.